Welcome aboard the Shipshape Podcast, your ultimate destination for marine wisdom and expertise. Our skilled crew, comprised of top boating journalists and experts, is committed to delivering informative and captivating content week after week. We're eager to connect with and learn from our fellow mariners, and we encourage you to share our podcast with your friends. Remember, word of mouth is our lifeblood. And if you enjoy an episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. By doing so, you're helping us forge a robust community of mariners who can learn, collaborate, and exchange their experiences out on the water.
This week on the Shipshape Podcast, we speak to Nikuja Koymans, Sales and Marketing Manager at One and Young People in Yachting NL Chairwoman, and discover the formula for a top-notch sales professional, how to break into the yachting industry as a young person, dive into the thorny topics of technology in yachting, and discuss what the future of the industry might look like. My name is Georgia Tyndale, and I'm an editor and writer in the maritime sphere coming from Lancaster in the UK, and I'm joined by Meryl.
Meryl Charette, I'm a liveaboard on a Ta Shing Toshiba 36 in Boston, Massachusetts. So, where are you coming to us from?
Hey guys, I am Nikuja Koymans, as she just said, and I'm currently based in Rotterdam. And I'm working for Yacht Cloud and 1XP within the yachting industry already 4.5 years now.
So, before you got into the yachting industry, where were you coming from?
Oh yeah, that's actually quite a funny story. I grew up in the south of the Netherlands in a very, very small village. And when I was 18, I was like, I need to leave. It's my time to shine. And I moved to the big city of Rotterdam. And I came to Rotterdam basically to study international business and languages, which was quite a bit of a challenge at first, because I was not really good at languages, but still I wanted to learn them because I thought it was good for my future. So I was a bit stubborn and decided to just go for it. So I signed up and I studied 4 different languages. And that was actually really good fun because I had the opportunity to learn everything about business, speak these languages, move to different countries, and basically learn everything you need to know about doing international business.
And where did yachting come in?
That's quite funny. Actually, I didn't even know what a yacht was. When I graduated, I just decided to go for a couple of conversations at companies because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I still remember I had 8 conversations in total at 8 different companies. And the last company was Yacht Cloud. And I walked in and they were talking about yachts. And I remember they showed me this 24-karat gold butler call button. They gave it to me and they said to me, "What do you think that this is?" And I was looking at the device. And I literally had no clue. I looked at it for 5 minutes and then they said to me, "It's a button to call for your butler." And I was just looking at them like, oh no, what world did I enter? What is this? Do people have butlers? They have a button to call their butlers? Why? You have a phone. I didn't get it at all, but still, it triggered something in me. It made me curious and I decided to just give it a try and start working in yachting.
Because I see you also worked for some Madrid-based and you worked in Curaçao as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
So you have worked in other countries that aren't the Netherlands. How was that kind of it being in an international business as such a young person?
It was challenging, but also super exciting. I have to say Madrid was tough because I had 1 year of Spanish and then they just dropped me like that in a Spanish company where no one could speak any English. And all I could say was like, dos cervezas, por favor. So I had to start from scratch, you know, all the way from the beginning. Took me some tears, to be honest. It was tough the first weeks, but now I'm very happy because I became fluent in Spanish and it helps a lot.
What was it like to just enter into the marine industry? What was that learning curve like?
Yeah, it was an interesting learning curve because you have no clue about the industry at all. You have no clue about all these companies that work around yachts and you have to start all the way from the beginning. I was very lucky because I was in a good company and they brought me everywhere. They brought me to all the meetings just to get to know people and to see how it works. And I think the networking part was the most difficult in the beginning, but it is the most important part, if you ask me, to get into the industry.
Why was it difficult?
it's a small club of people that all know each other. And then you feel like little kids, you know, when everyone is friends and then you need to walk in and you're like, hey, I'm here as well. Hello.
No, I get that. I get that totally. And I think you can feel like quite a, to use a bad pun, quite a fish out of water. I mean, I remember being at a boat show and there were like these 12 Dutch guys and everyone was ordering pizza and everyone knew each other in the industry. And they said, oh, of course, everyone here speaks Dutch, don't they? And I had to be that person that put my hand up and said, no, I'm the person from the outside and I don't speak Dutch. Exactly. So you're all just going to have to speak English. You can feel very kind of out on a limb, but I guess it's just about having the confidence to be like, no, I can be here too.
Exactly. You need to believe in yourself. That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
So you go from stumbling into the industry, you know, we've all heard these type of stories before, but through in a very short period of time, you become the president of
YPY, the Young Professionals in Yachting.
Exactly. And then you also got Best Young Sales Professional in 2022. So how did you do that?
Well, this is always a stupid answer, but just by being myself. I do what I like. It sounds that easy. I work super hard, of course. I work my ass off every single day. I make long hours, but I do what I like. So it doesn't feel like I have to work very hard because I'm just enthusiastic about what I do. But in the end, I think it's mostly about being your authentic self. Same with networking. It's all about people. People like to talk to genuine people. Be yourself and also believe in yourself, which isn't always easy if you're like a young person entering an industry where there's a lot of people with a lot of experience. But yeah, people see you as you, and that's enough.
So how do you explain what you do for a living to friends and family who are outside the industry?
Yeah. I didn't tell you in the beginning, but I'm half Polish, half Dutch. And my Polish family, they have a completely different life. They've never sit in an airplane, for example, while we travel for work so much. And it's such a different lifestyle. So for them, it's sometimes difficult to understand what we do because they're like, okay, you're traveling for work? What? How does that work? You step in the airplane, go to meetings and you get paid for that? They're like mind blown about what we do. And I think that's also a good reminder for me to be grounded and actually remember how strange our job sometimes is. My friends always help me with that too. They always tell me like, you need to open your eyes. Like you're in Dubai just to travel and meet clients. And it becomes so normal for us. But we need to stand still sometimes and realize how lucky we actually are to call this our job.
Yeah, definitely. So your background is obviously in technology and what you're doing. So I'd love to talk a little bit more about technology and yachting because I think it's absolutely fascinating and we don't get to talk about that very much. So what is the current state of yachting in terms of technology? Is it the sort of industry that's quite slow to pick up new technological ideas or where are we kind of up to?
Yeah, what you see is that there is more awareness of technology in the yachting business. The technology on yachts is basically meant to improve the ship's operation and to add really to the guest and client experience. But although those are mandatory, we see more focus on doing it in a right way. Because back in the days, technology really came second, especially the client-facing stuff. It wasn't like the main priority of the yacht.
Yeah.
But these days, if there is no Wi-Fi, if you go on a holiday, we freak out. Like we're so used to the technology around us. And that's what we also see happening on the yachts. People have a certain experience in their homes and the owner really wants to bring that experience, the same level, back to his yacht. And that's sometimes still a challenge. But you see that every party or working around the yacht is implementing the technology more and more. For example, the designers see the need of technology. And speakers and televisions are not the prettiest, but together we collaborate to make sure that they can still be integrated in a good way on the yacht. And the same with the yards. They're giving technology like a significant place in their process. And more yards are hiring specialists, personal to manage that technological part of the process as well. Yeah. But like you said, if it's fast with integrating and moving fast, to be honest, I don't think so. I mean, we're such a small market segment that the return on investment isn't really good. So the other markets, they have a bigger return on investment. So they like to focus more on innovation. And as soon as innovation is there, as soon as people have it in their homes, we make sure to implement it on the yachts as well. But
Yeah, it sounds like it's house first, then yacht, rather than things being developed for yachts and then that way around. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
And how have you seen kind of this technology adoption in the time that you've been working in it?
Yeah, things change, priorities change. But at the same time, what I see happening is that we're in a phase where we simplify things again. So things became very complicated because we wanted to have all of the technology. And right now clients are asking for a button where they can press turn all lights on. And that's it. So we had so much technology going on that the user experience actually became the most important thing. And we now need to make sure that everything is simplified for the end client. Like what happens behind the boxes is not interesting for the client. That's interesting for us as a company. We need to make sure that all these boxes work together and are linked together with the client. They want to turn on their lights. They want to listen to their favorite song on Spotify. And they just want to do the simple things that we all do.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because I was going to ask you what the priority is. If you were to describe the priority for tech from today's owner. It sounds to me like what you're describing is simplicity and not having to think about it.
Yeah, it's simplicity, definitely. But also the internet. I think the internet is the most important thing nowadays because it's staying connected is what we do every single day. WhatsApp, Skype, Zoom. We need it, even when we're on board of a yacht. Same goes for watching a game, Netflix, your songs on Spotify. I mean, you go on a yacht to experience yachting. But it's the same like going to a party where there's no music. You still need the technology to be there as well.
But do you think, is it reasonable to expect the same level of access to all these things when you're out on the sea? I don't know if that is a decent question because I'm, you know, I don't have to work with these people, but is it a reasonable expectation? Is it even possible?
Nowadays, it becomes more and more possible. Yeah, we still have some room for improvement and connectivity is still something that's not always the best, but we're getting there slowly, bit by bit. So I think eventually, yes, the experience will be one-on-one.
What has been the most interesting technology developments that you've seen? You know, what is some cool tech?
Apart from the butler button that you can tell us about that.
Yes, the coolest things. Yeah, we do a lot of cool things, but unfortunately, I cannot tell everything unless I want to have some lawyers behind my neck getting very angry after this podcast. But I think some cool things that I've seen that I liked a lot is like super big video walls, like by 8 by 3 meters. We've done a very, very cool professional movie theater. It's like the best movie theater ever installed on a yacht for very famous clients. We've done some super cool clubs on board that are like better than the clubs in Ibiza, you cannot imagine. I used to be a DJ. That's why I get very excited about all these technical music club stuff. And the reason that we can do stuff like that is because we've been super fortunate to work with like the biggest clients in a 100-150 meter range. And they have like a big budget to really do something unique. The thing I like the most is just to have a happy client, to be honest. And for some clients, it's the big video wall. For other clients, it's something simple as turning off the music automatically when you get called by your phone. It doesn't matter if we do the big video wall or if I send them just one service call button. As long as they have a smile at the end of the day and are happy with the technology in a way that they like, then I get happy as well.
So have there been any technological ideas that have completely flopped or not caught on within the industry? Any mad things you've seen over the years?
Where do I start? Yeah, there's a big list. We've tried a lot. Everyone tried a lot, especially in the yachting industry. But just like the other industries, technology follows like the Gantt hype chart. I don't know if you know what that is, but possibly you do. It's a chart that shows that there's a lot of hype about technology in the beginning and everyone thinks that they need it. They all get super excited, but only after like a real application, it is found that people embrace it. So a flop, for example, that we've seen with the Gantt chart is the Google glasses.
Oh yeah,
I think everyone knows the Google glasses. Everyone wanted to have them on the shows. They were everywhere. Everyone was walking with these glasses, but no one actually has them right now.
No.
And the same with the 3D glasses. Do you remember that one for the television? Everyone wanted to have like a 3D TV. No one has it anymore. Same with the rollable TVs. It just wasn't all a hit. Some of these ideas are super good, but we need to keep in mind that we're a very niche market and we're a market where there's a lot of money. So you expect that they're willing to invest in it, and they are, but they still expect the highest quality. But if you look, for example, at developing product, let's say they want to develop something like an iPhone level. Like, you know, an iPhone is a solid product. It's good. It's reliable. That's the level that they expect when they invest in something.
Yeah.
But only the iPhone development was already 150 million euros over a 30-month period. And no one is going to invest that much money. Apple sold like 6.1 million devices, I think, something like that, which turned out to be like $25 price R&D per product on development costs. And in yachting, we have 10,000 yachts approximately. I think it's around between 9 and 10,000 at the moment. So yeah, having like a good calculation that investors are happy with is quite impossible in the yachting industry. We still make exciting products. For example, yeah, with Yacht Cloud, as you mentioned, we have this beautiful service call button. So we still try to develop and invest. But that's also why there's not a lot of companies doing it, because it's quite costly for such a small market segment.
Ahoy, investors. Are you on the lookout for a unique opportunity to invest in a thriving industry? Set your sights on Shipshape, the innovative platform connecting boat and yacht owners with top-notch marine service providers. Our team is committed to revolutionizing the marine repair and refit market in North America. But we can't sail these seas alone. With your support, we can enhance our platform and create a significant impact in the industry. Don't let this exciting investment opportunity drift away. Contact us today to learn more about joining our voyage. Reach out to us at info@shipshape.pro.
Can you talk about the young professionals in yachting and, you know, why you decided to, you know, take on that role?
Yeah, definitely. When I joined the industry, that's, yeah, 4.5, 5 years ago, like I mentioned, my colleagues immediately said to me, oh my God, go to the YPY, because that's where you meet people. That's where you meet like the same like-minded people that have the same age, they have the same struggles, they understand what you go through. So it's very valuable to be there and talk with them. And that's also where my network started. I just had a beer with all the young professionals in yachting, talked about what we do as a company, and they immediately said, hey, maybe you should talk to that person. Maybe you should talk to him, to her. They made the introductions basically for me. And that's why the YPY is super valuable. And officially, what they say is that the YPY is like a dedicated, enthusiastic, and ethical young professional networking, sharing knowledge, nurturing long-lasting relationships to achieve success and global recognition within the yachting industry. And that's really, really what it is. To me, it was super, super valuable. And then after 2.5 years, they asked me to become the events manager. So for about 1.5 years, I organized all the events with the YPY. It was in the middle of COVID. I still remember that was quite challenging. But we did some fun interviews with all the CEOs of the Dutch shipyards. So it really brings a lot of knowledge to our members as well. And then last year, they asked me if I wanted to become the first female president. Yay! So that was super exciting. So I have a really cool board now with 5 enthusiastic people, and we organize events through the entire year and make sure that new people join us. Like, we have about 50 new members who joined us this year. They're all around the age of 25, which is super exciting. They're new to the industry, and yeah, the older generation is happy to show them around.
Well, the YPY is not just the Netherlands, but it's all over the world. So how does that type of global network impact individual branches?
Yeah, we indeed have a lot of chapters all over the world. If I'm correct, we have 6 at the moment. And they also organize international events, which is good for an international network. For example, if you go to the Monaco Yacht Show, there's an event for the YPY, a breakfast where you can join, and then you can meet all the international members. Same for the Flips. If you go there, you can meet the other chapters and have fun together, and in that way broaden your network. So it's really bigger than just the chapter you're at. It really allows you to expand your network globally.
Now, a core thing that you do is you're a salesperson. So can you tell me what qualities make a good salesperson in regards to the unique industry of superyachts?
Yeah, I always find this a funny question, because a lot of people think that salespeople are smooth. And I think maybe if you hear me talking right now, you think the same. Because, you know, salespeople are always good talkers. But in the end, I think the main thing you need to be able to is to listen. because we need to listen to what our clients want to do, what they find their main priority, what they find is important. And it's not just the talking that sells the project, you know, it's the listening and being still and understanding what they need. And at the same time, on the other side, it's the relational aspect, and you need to figure out how to get like a mutual relationship between the two of you, basically. That also involves a lot of good fun. I like to go for a fun night out and in that way bond with the clients and make sure that they remember us in a good way and build a relationship with them through that. And we're all just people, to be honest. Even if we look at like the ultra high net worth individuals, they are people. And sometimes you click with someone and sometimes you don't. And that's a matter of fact. But still, even if you don't click, we make sure that they feel heard, they feel listened, they feel understood, they're enthusiastic about what you do. Yeah, they need to believe that you can deliver the highest quality because we're working in yachting. So everything that they say needs to be taken very serious and it requires action. There is no room for mistakes. And that's what they want in the end. Even if the click is not there, they just want to understand and trust in you that you will fix it for them. And that's what makes the deal in the end.
And do you think any of this has changed over time in terms of people's perceptions of sales within yachting and what someone working within the industry in sales should be?
I think maybe yes, because yeah, the older generation had their own way of doing things. And I think more and more of the younger generation is coming in right now. And I know I look relatively young and sometimes that can be a problem because they're like, hey, why should I talk to you? Why should I take you serious in your knowledge? You just came around the corner. But for me, I don't necessarily see that as a problem because I'm just open and honest about it. If I don't know the answer, I will tell you, hey, I've been working in yachting for 4.5 years. I will ask my colleague who knows everything about it to make sure you get the right answer. Yeah. But they need to trust me that I will get the right answer for them. Yeah, that's where your own confidence comes in and just fix it. That's what I always like to say. You need to do it in the end.
Yeah. And what do you think about mentorship? Do you have a mentor? Would you want one? I think there's quite a bit of mentorship within the industry. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, there's a bit of mentorship with industry, definitely. I also had a mentor from my company, which has helped me a lot. We had like a young capital program where we had some psychologists helping us as well to understand like, hey, who are you? What makes you unique? How can you be best at work? And what are your triggers, etc. And I think that has helped us all in the company a lot. I'm really happy that my company offered that. Because understanding yourself and your own problems, I think that's very important for the young generation to become a successful leader in the end.
You're an ambassador to She of the Sea. Can you talk a little bit about what that is and what it represents for the yachting industry?
Yeah, definitely. She of the Sea first represented only women back in the days to give them a voice because we were in a minority. But now it's even more broader, you know, it's gender equality, it's diversity, it's accessibility. It makes sure that there is space for everyone in the yachting industry. And that's what excites me a lot as well. Like if I look at my company, I work with only technical people and I would love to see more women on the work floor here, but it's difficult. It's challenging. It's not an easy industry that we work in. It is harsh and it requires a lot. And you need to stand up for yourself. And I personally think that's not for everyone, but everyone should have the opportunity to get into the industry and to show who you are. And She of the Sea is really helping in that because they bring together the people to talk about this issue. And also back in the days when I joined, they brought together a lot of women to like cheer each other up and have each other's back and help each other in the industry. And that's really, really good.
So, I mean, obviously, we've heard diversity throughout, like every industry is talking about inclusion and diversity. But how do you think that diversity impacts the yachting industry? What benefit does it have?
Especially in meetings, you see the benefit of having a woman there a lot because we bring more of the emotional side with us. Whereas the guys are very harsh and let's go, you know, let's have this meeting. But the emotional side is very good to be there as well. Because what I notice is that clients feel heard by me, or they feel open to talk more about personal stuff, talk about their kids, talk about their family. And that's important again to establish that relationship. And I think that's an aspect of women that's very, very good, and that men have possibly a bit more difficulties with. So in that way, I think that we really bring good qualities to the table.
And how has your personal experience in yachting kind of impacted how you see diversity and inclusion?
It has become more and more important, to be honest, because I didn't realize it was a problem until I joined the yachting industry. That's a very tough statement, but when I came into the company and I saw that 55 men were working here and not even one woman, I was like, where did I enter into? We really need to change that. And we can only change it by making the change ourselves. And I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm not saying that I don't have tough times. Sometimes people don't want to shake my hand, or they think that I'm the girlfriend of one of my managers or something like that, and that I joined a meeting just for that. And that's not easy. That's a tough thing to swallow. But by leaving the meeting and not saying anything, I won't make a change. I need to be there. Tell them that they need to speak to me. Tell them that I'm the one who will arrange everything and show them that I can do it. And sometimes that's tough, but somebody has to do it. And I feel like us women who are in the industry right now need to do it in order to have like a bright future for the people that come next to us.
What type of tips would you give a young woman who might be interested in pursuing a career in yachting?
I would say reach out to other females, first of all. For example, I'm happy to speak about how the industry works, and we help each other. We help each other by giving advice, but we also help each other by reaching out to the right people, making the right connections. So I would say, talk about it.
We did an interview with Brigitte Lioden, who was kind of a big mover in the Me Too movement within the shipping industry. And she had some unique comments on this question. So I'll throw it to you. How do you see diversity and inclusion over the next 5 to 10 years?
To be very honest, I hope it won't be a very big topic anymore. I just hope that we all get used to it, and that it becomes normal to have everyone on the work floor, and that we don't have to talk about it that much anymore. We have to talk about it right now, but I hope that it will change very, very soon.
So another topic that tends to get people quite fruity and excited within the industry is obviously that of sustainability. So yes. I don't know if you were at METS last year when Extinction Rebellion turned up and made their voice quite clear about how they feel about the yachting industry. As a young person, do you see that there is a future within yachting in terms of having a sustainable future?
It was actually quite funny because I was in a panel and that happened.
Oh, well, really?
Right after, so not during, but right after. And it had a big impact on our panel discussion back then. But what I liked, they mentioned a phrase that I still remember as of the day of today. And it's like, you're losing your social license to operate. And I think that's really good for us to all understand, because we're super aware about our social license when it comes to buying clothes, ordering food, going on holiday. We all think about that, but we do not really focus on that in yachting. And we need to solve that. We need to be aware about that. And I personally don't think that just the yachting industry can make a very, very large impact, because there are so many other big industries, for example, the container ships sailing around. It's more of a general topic rather than just yachting. But I do think that we need to reach out to the younger generation to help us with the topic, because sustainability is, especially for the younger generation, a hot topic. They have a lot of solutions and we need to listen to them. But that also means that we need to make the segments interesting for the younger generation. We need to attract the younger generation. And just like I didn't know what yachting was, almost no one here in the Netherlands knows what yachting is, except when you live next to a yard.
Exactly.
We need to bring our industry under like a spotlight in a positive way. And that's a bit challenging, because indeed, we are not the most sustainable market segment. But we somehow need to change that. So it's a conversation, an open conversation we need to have with these younger generations, if you ask me. We need to go to the schools and talk about it with them, show them what the yachting industry is, show them that we focus on innovation, that we're open for new ideas, sustainability, technology-wise, everything. Make them like super excited so they join us and help us become better.
Absolutely. And as we've mentioned in our previous podcast we've done on yachting and sustainability, it's also an industry with the financial clout to make a difference. you know, there's money floating around, isn't there? So
exactly. But it has to come from the owner. If the owner is happy to do everything sustainably, then he will invest in it. So maybe that's something we need to change first. Maybe we should show them how important it is. And then they will invest in it.
What you need for that is smooth talking sales professionals, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Or just people who confront them with it.
So you've already accomplished a fair bit in the time that you've been in the industry, but where do you see yourself in the next 10 years?
Oh, thanks. I don't see myself like that. But I always have big goals. That's how I am. I like to challenge myself. So my next goal for 10 years is actually quite long. I actually hope it will be happening in 5 years. But I would like to be the youngest female CEO in the industry.
Cool.
We don't have not many female CD CEOs right now. So I think that needs some changing. Yeah, I like to dream big, work towards my goal. And I hope I will be able to realize it.
And is your home in yachting now, do you think? Or do you think you'd move industries potentially? Or are you quite comfortable?
No, I am quite comfortable. Well, I'm not comfortable because I think that's
no, don't want to be complacent.
Positive thing because you want to challenge yourself every now and then. Yeah, in the end, I'm so happy I joined yachting because I'm like super perfectionistic. And in yachting, it's the highest quality that you will ever be able to achieve. The quality of materials, the quality of technology, the highly skilled people. Everyone is super motivated every single day to get like really the best out of it. It costs a lot of money on a super yacht. So the quality has to be like the best ever. And that comes with really good people. And I get inspired daily by the amount of craftsmanship that's happening on a yacht. And I don't think I can find that anywhere else.
Yeah.
So I don't see myself leaving yet. No.
So obviously kind of getting back to some like pro tips and stuff. Obviously when you work with a client, it's not like the client knows everything about all this technology on board. So there has to be a level of education in terms of like teaching and explaining to potential clients. So can you give some like pro tips on how you effectively educate, you know, obviously besides listen, right? That's a core thing with all sales.
Yeah, definitely. I always say if I can understand it, then the client understands it as well. It's super funny. I work in technology, but I'm not technical at all. I have no technical background. I never studied anything technology wise. I just randomly dropped in the land of technology. So in Dutch, we say Yip en Jannekentaal, which basically means explain everything in like not necessarily a childish way, but like a very simple way. So instead of talking about the thousands of boxes and cables that we use, talk about the experience that this person wants to feel. They want to sit on the sun deck while enjoying their favorite cocktail, listening to their favorite song on Spotify. That's what they want to do. They don't want to know about what core switch is being used and what type of cabling is needed. They want to have like the entire experience around it. They want to dance to their favorite songs when the sun comes down and listen to their favorite DJ playing. That's what they care about. So really focus on the experience rather than what you're selling, which is boring technology, basically, and boxes and cables and TVs.
I'm afraid you mentioned the word DJ. So as you mentioned before, you also have had a stint as a DJ. So tell us a bit about that, please, before we wrap up.
Yeah, I started when I was like 17 years old. It was a bit of a joke. I always played guitar and piano and stuff like that. So then I thought, hey, why not start DJing? I like music. So I gave it a try and I traveled all over the world between my 16th and 22nd. I think that's when I stopped. I was living in Madrid. I played in all the hotels. When I lived in Curaçao, I played every single day on really big festivals. I played together with Hardwell as his pre-program. So it was exciting times, but I decided it was not my dream job. It was good fun, but I like to make use of my brain as well. But I still bring my knowledge about music and I bring it to my work every single day. And sometimes it even helps with negotiating. Don't tell this to anyone, but when I sell a good DJ system and I actually win the project, I always tell them, I'll come play DJing. If you sign it, I'll play for free. Yeah, that's a good trick that always works.
So where can people find you and read more about you and check out what you were working on?
I would say on my LinkedIn. That's something that I use a lot. That's actually also how I started with my connections in the industry. I didn't know anyone, so I randomly started adding like hundreds of people. It was in the middle of COVID, so I had no opportunity to go any trade show. So I started randomly adding, possibly also you guys. I'm sorry about that. You must have been thinking, who is this girl? It's me. Hello. But it helped a lot because in the end, I went to the trade shows after COVID and people started recognizing me. So that's how I started networking digitally instead of face to face. So you can find me over there. You can follow me and reach out to me. Text me if you have any questions. If you want to buy some technology.
And for people who might not know, what are the parameters for joining young professionals in yachting?
You have to be land-based, so unfortunately we cannot allow any crew. For the Dutch chapter, you have to live in the Netherlands and be below 40. If you're 40, I unfortunately have to say goodbye. You're officially welcome to the old people club.
I have often thought this, they should do a medium professionals in yachting or an elderly professional in yachting. That would be a very big club.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, it was a great conversation, and we'll leave the link to your LinkedIn in the comments below.
That would be great. Looking forward to hopefully meeting new people soon.
Sounds like a plan.
Check back every Tuesday for our latest episode, and be sure to like, share, and subscribe to Shipshape.pro.